Last week we talked about loving each other, and this is really, this lesson tonight was supposed to be tacked on to last week. But we talked about loving each other last week, and I just wanted to kind of, before we got going tonight, kind of chide you a little bit, rebuke you some, and then tell you that I love you anyway. So here's your slight rebuke. In the last month, I have seen more gossiping, more rumor spreading, more unwarranted irritation within our group than I have in the year and 8 months I've been here. And I just want to tell you, stop it. I love you, and follow my lead. I don't talk about you behind your back. I don't approach, if I have a problem with you, I approach you. If there's something that in there, follow my lead, please. Stop acting like children. You're not. Don't give the world reason to think you are. You have more potential than you will ever realize. Stop wasting it on petty things. Listen, focus on Christ and stop worrying about other people in this world. Stop it. That's your slight rebuke. And that is not addressed to anyone specifically. Hear me. Listen to me. That is not addressed to anyone specifically. I don't have anyone specifically in mind. You have all done this. Every single one of you. And don't you dare do what Southern Baptists are notorious for, which is in your brain go, yeah, that's right, you better stop it. Listen, you need to point your finger at yourself. Okay, so that's your mild rebuke. Your mild rebuke is stop acting like children. Stop backbiting each other. Stop gossiping. You are better than that. And I know you're better than that. And I know God's going to do amazing things for you. But if you continue to act this way, He is going to have to discipline us. And quite frankly, I don't want to be disciplined. So, that having been said, now you get to hear the happy part. I love you. I really do. I think that you're great. And listen, this is how youth ministry works. For about a year in teaching youth, you're frustrated, you're angry with them, you don't like being around them. After about a year and a half, you can start to tolerate them. Now, we're to the stage where my wife and I actually enjoy being around you guys. I mean, I know that sounds really mean, but listen, I mean, the truth of the matter is we are at the stage where we're starting to see some of you really show signs of growth, and it's encouraging, and we love it, and we love to be around you. So when you think about your pastors, you need to think about them kind of this way. If you've only known them for a short time, they're going to have a really hard time enjoying being around you because they want you to do so much more, and they want you to go so much further, and they haven't seen any steps. And that's what the thing is. We come into a place and we don't see any steps. I mean, do you feel that way? This year, we've just gotten to that point where it's actually fun to be around each other. And on Wednesdays, you're actually looking forward to being here, right? I mean, am I the only one that feels that way? Maybe that's just me. But that's how your pastor feels. We're finally getting to the point where we really enjoy your company. My wife and I both. And so I don't want you to hear me saying, I think that you're wrong and you're always the bad, and, you know, you're always evil. I'm not saying that. I'm not yelling at you. What I'm doing is I'm saying, listen, as a whole, why are you crying? As a whole, we need to stop acting like we're still in fifth grade. And we need to start acting like we're in high school, like we're in college. And the reason I say high school and college, for those of you who are in junior high, is because I believe the world tells you to act like a child when you're in junior high. And so I'm going to tell you that you're in high school now. That's kind of how it is. And I don't talk down to you. I don't talk down to your level. You come up to ours. Okay, so let's go. Let's go with the scripture now. Now that you've gotten your mild rebuke and you know that I love you and enjoy being around you. That's why, by the way, in the summer, we're opening our house every Wednesday for you guys to come hang out. So Wednesday night after this is over. Because if you come beforehand, I'm going to be like, get out of my house. I have to read my Bible. So, 1 John chapter 3, verse 19, we're going to pick up here. And let's just start by reading it. By this, we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure ourselves before Him. Now remember, he's saying, because we love one another, because we love the brothers, we will reassure ourselves. We will know that we are saved. So then next it says, for whenever our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. And He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son, of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. Whoever keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in them. And by this we know He abides in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. Alright, so John has just talked about loving one another, and remember our test. Do you love the saints? If you love believers, then you're most likely a believer. Do you love the saints? And this is how it goes, right? Do you love the saints of Jesus? So, here's your question. If you're a believer, you say you're a believer, you want to be a believer, do you like to be around believers and talk about what believers believe? Do you like that? Not is it something that you enjoy every once in a while, but is this what you crave? Is it what you do? Because the word there, as we've heard so many times before, is present tense active. Do you loving believers? Do you continue to love believers? If you don't, you got some problems. You got some issues. And by the way, this is going to be kind of intense right off the bat tonight because this was supposed to be tacked on to the end last week. He says, by this we shall know that we are of the truth. And reassure our hearts before Him. Now listen, if you are a believer and you're in a situation that is hard, or you're in a hard rock place, listen, there's something really cool about being a believer. And when I mean hard rock place, I mean, like, think about your heart, right? Think about how your heart is and where it is at the moment. You've got this position over here in your heart. In fact, let's just diagram this, shall we? Devin and Logan, come on up. Okay. Huh? You want to be the bad guy? Okay, stand here. Okay, so Devin's the heart, right? Start thumping. Go ahead. There you go. Boy, you're a weak heart, man. Okay, so your heart, right? It's a butt up, butt up, butt up. Go ahead. Butt up, butt up. Okay, so you got the heart right here, right? And you got this over here, and we're going to call this sin. Look ugly. There you go. Okay. Harder. Look ugly. Harder. Harder. There you go. Okay, so you got sin over here. Now, this is what happens, right? Keep beating. So, sin creeps in, right? Creeps in, and it gets all over your heart. Get all over him. All over him. That's kind of awkward. Okay, that's kind of weird. No. All over him. There you go. Okay, so you've got sin all over the heart, right? And sin is wrapped around your heart. Now, this is what happens when Christ comes into your life. Christ comes into your life and goes, and sin's gone. And then He takes this, right, and He kills it. And He throws it out, and He puts in a brand new one. So He's like, here's a new one. Looks really similar, doesn't it? Beep. There you go. So He puts in a new one, right? And that's basically what happens. What is inside you gets changed completely. Sin gets killed and taken away. Not only does it get taken away, but literally what is inside you, your nature, gets completely changed. Absolutely changed. Now, you have this nature, right? But, you know, sin is not something that is just there today, gone tomorrow. Sin is something that's around all the time. So now you just walk around it. So you're in school, right? You're in school. Check this out. You're in school. Okay, you're the heart. There you go. You're in school, right? You're in school, and let's say you sin. I don't know what you guys really struggle with, but let's say you've got some grievous sin, and you've kept doing it, and sin keeps walking around you like this. And occasionally, you grab it. Okay? And occasionally, you hug it. And occasionally, you hug it and look like you're dancing. Okay, so occasionally, you hug it. Right? So this is you, right? Occasionally, you grab sin, and you hold on to sin, and then the Holy Spirit comes and says, no, you just beat. Just beat. And it, you know, occasionally the Holy Spirit comes in and pushes sin out of the way, right? And then stands over here, and you get these emotional and spiritual highs, like the nights of worship here where you're just on fire, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? Can I get some head nods? Like where you're just, oh, I love the Lord, right? And you've got these emotional things going on. And sin is being held out of the way by the Holy Spirit at the moment. But here's the deal. What happens is the Holy Spirit's here and you're looking at Him, right? And you're just enjoying the Holy Spirit. And then this is what happens. The next day you look over there and then you start to walk that way and sin starts walking around you again. And instead of calling upon the Holy Spirit to battle sin and to try and stay away from sin, you grab it again. Yeah, and this time you treat it like a buddy. And so you treat it like a buddy. And the Holy Spirit comes back in and removes it again, and you have another emotional worship experience where you repent and you weep and you cry and you're like, oh, I'm such a wretched slug. And God's like, yes, you are. And you're like, no, I love you, Lord. And He's like, I love you too. Stop being a slug. You're like, I will. I promise. I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm not going to sin anymore. And then the instant that emotional high is over, you walk right back over to sin. You see, this is kind of how we treat our faith, right? This is how we act. And I know that was really goofy and kind of dorky, but you've got your heart, right? And you keep walking over towards sin. And sometimes you're not even walking towards it. You're not even looking to sin, but you walk out and you take your eyes off the Holy Spirit and you got some sin that you start to deal with. And you got some problems. And you got some things you need to stop doing. You got some stuff going on in you that's just not healthy. Well, listen to what John says to you. Because, I mean, it's tempting, and this is why he says it. It's tempting when you struggle with sin to go, I can't possibly be a believer. I can't possibly really know who Christ is. I sin, and I fall into this temptation over and over and over. And you know, part of that is just your mind, because in your mind you're going, I'm walking, I'm falling, I'm doing, and it's all about you. When the truth is, if you take your mind off yourself for 10 minutes, you'd see it's all about God. But that's another point. That's a whole another 3-hour sermon. But you've got, you know, you get tainted, and you get stuff on you, and you get gross. And then you come and you hear me speak, or you hear Brother Greg speak, or you hear somebody else speak, and they tell you that Christians pursue a righteous lifestyle, that Christians move towards righteousness. And what happens is you go, am I even a believer? Well, listen to what John tells you. In chapter 3, verse 20, for whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. In other words, in fact, flip back over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, and we see that he writes, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Right? So that you'll stop sinning. Stop it. You're not going to sin even once. That's how the text kind of reads. In Greek, it would be like, that you're not even going to sin one time. I write this to you so that you may not sin. But look at the next phrase. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Do you understand how big of a deal this is? Do you get it? I mean, the idea here is that you were the enemy of God. You. Not some force inside you. Not one thing you did back way back when. Not the sin that you accidentally stumbled into. You were the enemy of God. And you're standing on the battlefield with a gun pointed at Him. And here's the thing. He was standing on the other side with a gun pointed at you. And He made provision for you anyway. And what He did was literally come over to your side, conquer you, and then change you so that you'd be on His side. And the whole time you were fighting, I love the way C.S. Lewis puts it. He says, I was dragged kicking and screaming into heaven. In other words, he did not want to be saved. There was nothing inherent in him that wanted to choose to do righteousness. Everything he wanted to do was evil. But God came and grabbed him and said, "No, you're coming with me." And he took sin out of his life and he changed his heart and he made him want to pursue righteousness. And what John says here is, look, if you are in this room tonight and you are struggling with a sin, you need to know. You need to know. Jesus died so that you may live. And if you're a Christian and you struggle with a sin, you have an advocate before the Father. I mean, I don't know about you, but I see that video like we saw earlier with the sacrifice idea, and I look at it and it just makes me want to weep because I know there's absolutely nothing I can do to earn salvation. There's not one thing I could live up to, no choice I could make, nothing I could stand before God and be like, "Lord, here's my best work ever." You know, I'm an artist. I can't paint a picture of God so nice that He would let me into heaven even if it was for a second. I can't. All I can do is lean on Christ. And I look at that scene, and any time I think about the sacrifice of Jesus, my heart becomes overwhelmed because I should be in hell. And He removed sin from my life and made me new. And here's the thing. In our Christian walks, we continually go back to the things that we died to. Constantly we turn and we move back to them. You know, let's just throw some out there. You struggle with gossip. Let's just say you struggle with slander. Let's just say you struggle with self-image. Let's say you struggle with lying. You know, these are I'm thinking about things that are on your level as good people. Let's say you struggle with lust. Girls, let's say you struggle with lust. That's not just a guy thing anymore. So let's just say you struggle with these things, right? And you're a believer, and it's hard, and the road is hard, and you struggle with hatred, maybe, and you struggle with guilt, maybe false guilt, and the road is hard, and you keep turning to these things. And John is saying, listen, when your heart has turned on you completely, and you don't feel like there's anything good that could ever be done by you, and you feel wretched because of your sin. Note, he doesn't say it's not true. But what he does say is God is greater than your heart. Do you understand? If you love God and you love Jesus, and Jesus has come into your heart and made the difference and made the change, and you love Him, you understand there's nothing you can do to lose His love. Nothing. Just like there was nothing you could do to gain it. Absolutely nothing you do can make God go, "You know, I liked you once, but I think you're a little dorky now." I mean, nothing. Well, God may call you a dork, but that's because you are. He's never going to reject you after He's received you. So your heart condemns you and you say, how could I possibly live up to what I saw in that video? Or how could I possibly live up to these pastors who are around me who are perfect? How could I possibly live up to my youth pastor's wife, which is a hard thing, by the way? And how could I possibly live up to these guys that are up here leading worship every week or praying? Or how could I possibly live up to the person that I admire? How could I possibly? And the point of John is, look, would you stop it? Do you understand? The advocate is Christ. You've been set free from all that garbage and nonsense. If your heart condemns you, hey, God is greater than your heart. Have faith in Christ. When you start to doubt your faith, have trust in Jesus. Lean on Him. There is no but, by the way. If somebody says, how do you know you're saved? And you say, well, I have faith in Christ and... Well, and, no! If you say and, you just lost it right there. Faith is it. How are you going to go to heaven? Well, I'm trusting in Christ and... No ands. I'm trusting in Christ. He makes all the difference. Then he goes on and he says, and beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. In other words, look, you with me? If you're a believer, it's a win-win situation for you. You're not going to lose. Like, you feel bad, you've drug yourself down into the mud, yet get back up, you're fine. Because you have an advocate with Jesus, right? Jesus is in front of God going, wait. I chose this one, it's mine. So you've got an advocate before Christ. And if you don't have that problem, praise the Lord. You can go talk to God. I mean, it's win-win. Lord, I'm a wretched slug. Yes, you are. Come on. Lord, I'm great. Yes, you are. Come on. I mean, it's win-win. There's nothing you can do to lose it. So verse 21, he goes on and he says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask Him, whatever we ask, we receive from Him. Because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. Now listen, there's a lifestyle issue there. Like when I was little, I used to want to ask God for like a motorcycle, you know? Like 5. I want a motorcycle! You know, and God's like, no. And I'm like, come on! No. So the point is, you have to read that whole verse there. Look at verse 22. Verse 22 here, it says, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do what pleases Him. In other words, listen, if you're looking to get your life on the right track right now, and maybe you feel like you're kind of awkward and you're walking the wrong way, or you feel like you're stumbling in some things, I got two things for you. And I was talking, by the way, Mike Astuto is very excited to be coming down here in July. He's coming, I think, in July 10th or something. But I was talking with him today, and he said, you know, the problem is so many times we're walking like this, and we start to kind of stumble. And so we start to kind of stumble, and we think, okay, well, I can't do it. But more often than not, and so we think, oh no, I'm walking the wrong direction. More often than not, or let me give you a better example. Okay, so you're living life, right? And everything seems to be going right for a couple minutes. And then all of a sudden, everything falls apart. And you're like, what? More often than not, the problem with our lives is that what we've been doing is we've been living our lives. See, more often than not, the problem is we've been living our lives. And we've walked this line, right? And we've said we're believers, and we've said we've got everything. And we're kind of like, yeah, God, I got you. All right, I'll go to church. And we walk the line, right? And what John is saying here is, look, you wonder why you don't receive. This is the same thing James says later. You wonder why you don't receive things from God. It's because when you ask with wrong motives. He says, look, if we get what we receive, we get what we ask for of God when we are in line with his path, when we're living His way. So more often than not, when a student comes to me and they say something like, oh, a great one is, I just feel, because I get this one like 2 times a day. I just feel, so you guys should feel good, those of you who are like this, because you're like, oh, I'm not the only one. I just feel like I'm so far from God. And they always say it like half crying, you know? And I want to be like, suck it up, you know? But I never do. I'm always gentle, loving, kind, you know, most of the time. Yeah. So, honestly, they come to me and they say things like, I just feel so far from God. And it's the only time that they ever talk like that. But they, you know, they say that. And more often than not, I can look at them and I can go, okay, have you been spending time in the Word? And if they have, it's like 5 minutes on, you know, in the morning before they go to school while they're on their computer typing a paper. You know? And they're like, the Lord said to Daniel, that's a 7. Okay. Lord said to Daniel. Okay, good. I got you, God. I heard it. You know, and that's how we kind of treat our devotionals, right? And what John is saying is, look, if your lifestyle and your actions, and if you're walking in the path that God has for you, then you are going to receive what God has for you. And you need to bring, so what I'm telling you is, look, bring, if you're having a hard time with life right now, life just seems to be kind of cluttering around you, but take a step back, breathe, and bring your life into conformity with the Word of God. More often than not, your problem is not something external. And it's not another person, more often than not. More often than not, your problem is that you have not spent any time with God. Could you imagine if I didn't talk to my wife for a month? Could you imagine if you decided you're just not going to talk to your parents the rest of high school? Could you imagine that you were so in love with somebody, so in love that you went to their house and sang praises to them on their front porch, and you sang to them, and you'd go to their house and you'd say, I love you, Stephanie! And then after that's over, you go live 4 blocks away and never say another word to that person. And could you imagine that? Why do you do that to God? Why do you do that to God? Listen, God is your lover. He's your romantic interest. He's the one you serenade here on Wednesday nights and on Sunday mornings. You come to His front porch and you sing songs to Him as if you love Him. And you go back home and you do nothing with Him. Listen, you want to know why things go awry? You want to know why some things don't make sense? You want to know why life is so dang hard when you're trying to be a Christian? It's because you're not trying to be a Christian. It's because what you're doing is the opposite of loving God. You see, we tend to treat God like He's a fast food buffet, and we come on Sundays and on Wednesdays and we get our fix for the week. When the truth of the matter is, you need to be with your lover. Listen, the best way I can explain this to you is with my wife. She's in Tennessee right now, right? I only talk to her about twice a day. But if I don't talk to her, I'm not going to sleep. I'm not going to rest. You understand, she's away from our bed. She's in another bed. And I don't sleep when she's gone. Yeah, you're looking at a guy who's had like 3 hours of sleep in the last 2 nights. Listen, my wife is not at home. So you wonder, guys, you wonder why I wanted to go see Iron Man last night at 9:15, right? The reason my wife is not at home, and if I stay home, I'm going to be depressed because I'm not with her. Listen, this is how it is with God too. You wonder why you feel so distant from God. It's because you're not trying to be close to Him. You wonder why it's hard to feel prayer. It's because you're not trying to pray. You're not trying to engage Him. Most of the time, that's the case. That your life is out of conformity with the walk of God, and you are not trying to do what pleases Him. Most of the time. So, we're going to finish this section here. Verse 23. And this is His commandment. Now, He just said, if you follow His commandments and do what pleases Him, You're going to get what you want to receive because your life is in line with Christ. So if your life's in line with Christ, you want what Christ wants, you're doing what He tells you to, you're acting in the way He tells you to, and you get it. Bam! There it is. So, verse 23, He says, "And this is the commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us." Now, I want you to grasp what this love looks like. Go to Romans chapter 5. I feel like we should have like waiting music when we're turning pages. Okay, we're done with the waiting music. Okay, verse 6 of Romans chapter 5. Hello, we're back on the line. We reached our floor. Verse 6 of chapter 5. Okay. Paul writes to the Romans and he says, "While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps a good person would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now here's our example of love, right? This is your example of love. Okay, I want a demonstrator. Two new ones. Lauren, come on. You want to come up? Come on. Okay. This is your demonstration of love. Okay, Lauren, slap even. Okay? No, harder. Glad it was you because you're pretty big. What? Hey, pay attention. Okay, so this is your definition of love, right? Slap him again. Come on. Okay, now kick him in the rear. Go ahead, kick him. Now kick him. Don't die laughing. Just, there you go. Okay. That hurt? No? Okay. So. No, just kidding. Okay, so. You see, this is your definition of love. And this is kind of a hokey definition. But let's say Lauren just pretend to beat the tar out of Ethan. Pretend. Just, God, no! Okay, you pretend like it hurts. Okay, fall down. Okay, now kick him while he's down. This is the definition of love, right? This is you. Hey, look. This is you. You're Lauren, and you're just kicking Ethan. Just kicking him, right? Okay, here's the definition of Ethan. Here's the definition of love. Ethan gets up. You're still kicking. Still kicking. He goes and gets Lauren a flower. Go get him a flower. Keep kicking him. Why'd you stop? So he gets her a flower. She's still kicking him. He gives her a hug. She punches him. Okay, you guys can sit down. See, look, I know that was kind of goofy, but I want you to grasp, listen, Christ died for you while you were still sinners. In other words, you were beating the tar out of Christ. You were fighting with God, and you wanted to, and you were laughing while you did it. You were angry and you were hateful towards God. You were. And God said, "You know what? I'm going to love you anyway." There's this great scene, I can't even remember the movie, where the woman is so angry at her husband, right? And she's not really angry at her husband. She's just mean. And she hates everything. And I remember the scene vividly. I can't remember the movie. It probably wasn't very good. But you've got this woman and she's just angry at everything. And she's basically treated her husband like garbage. And she's had an affair and she's cheated on him. And she took his money and she stole his car. I remember she steals his car and drives off in the middle of the night. Goes to Tijuana, gets drunk, and then has an affair with some guy, and then comes back, and she ends up contracting a sexual disease. And she ends up feeling absolutely horrible. And she hates herself. And her husband comes in a picture, and she just blows up and screams at him, and says, "Why aren't you angry at me?" And he runs to her and he grabs her and he wraps his arms around her and he goes, "Because I love you. Because I love you." I love that scene. Because it's exactly where we come with Christ. Because at some point in your life, you looked around and you went, "Ah! Sin everywhere and I hate this." And He came and He wrapped His arms around you and said, "I love you. I love you." And He took you and He changed you. And what happens in this, I remember the movie, He takes the woman and He moves to a new area. He changes her life completely. Gives her everything she's ever dreamed of. And she asks a very important question. She says, "What if I do it again?" And He says, "It doesn't matter. I love you. You're my wife. You're my wife." That's what Jesus did. You get it? So the commandment is to love like He loved. You remember in John chapter 15? We're supposed to love like Jesus loved. That means if your friends go around and spit on your face, if they are evil people and they snide and they're you know, I mean, Christians are the worst sort of people, aren't we? I mean, especially in Texas. Because, I mean, everybody and their dog says they're Christian. If you love the saints, you overlook everything. Everything. Not just some things. Not just most things. Everything. You overlook it all. And you grab them and you hold them close and you say, "I love you." And they may push you away and say, "I hate you." And you go, "I love you. I love you. I love you." That's the love of Christ. That's who Jesus is. And that's who we are to be with each other. You feel like you're far from God. Listen, bring your life into pattern with God. Love one another. Back over at 1 John. "Whoever keeps His commandments abides in Him and He in them. And by this we know that He abides." Next week we're going to talk some about the Spirit of God leading. And we're going to address some things about the spirits of God and the Spirit that He tells us to seek and find. My challenge to you tonight, and we're kind of cutting the teaching only 15 minutes shorter. We're kind of cutting the teaching a little short tonight because I recognized something about our state and our not our state as in Texas, our state as in who we are. Like I kind of recognized something about who we are, and I looked around, and in the last 2 months, like I told you, I've seen more gossip, more backbiting, more obnoxious talk, and less love than I have since I got here by Christians. So tonight I wanted to give you an extended time of worship that you would be able to repent. That you would be able to just throw off all the garbage that covers you. You'd be able to literally go to God's throne, lay it out in front of Him, and let Him change it. And that you would recognize how wretched a person you are and how great God's love is. And you would seek forgiveness from those around you. And you would seek to love each other. So for a couple seconds, just take a minute of silence to kind of prepare your heart to go before God and repent.